All right, we'll call this meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals to order. The secretary, please call the roll.
Chairman Martin.
Here.
Mr. Burney.
Not here.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese.
Not here.
Ms. O'Brien.
Here.
Mr. Rule.
Here.
Mr. Swindoll.
Not here.
All right, we have a quorum. So the item on the agenda this evening is a variation request for the property of 1431 Monroe. We'd ask anybody who's going to testify before the board to please stand and get sworn in.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony in the matters before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
We have a fairly straightforward procedure. The applicant can make a presentation to us, then we'll call on all the people in the audience who want to address us. And then we as a board will discuss it and make our recommendation. So if you're ready to go, if you just stand up at the podium and introduce yourself, that'd be great.
How you doing? Thanks for the time. My name is Mark Tomasini. I am the resident of 1431 with my wife and family. We are looking for a variance to improve the home with minimal effect on a actual site, just due to the fact of the backyard has significant flooding. So we're trying to make the footprint, keep the footprint as minimal difference as possible, while maximizing space that is usable for a residence. One of the big things here that we have is in the area, many of the properties in the past have taken a large effect on the backyards by building out backyards, building up berms, and building up as they've done improvements. It's created dams at the end of the blocks as well as within the areas that has allowed a lot of pooling to occur. We're trying not to do that. We will not be doing that, actually. With the project, we will be going a little deeper on our basement to put in additional sub pumps to take groundwater out. We will also be putting in a generator to make sure that those sub pumps work when there is a power outage. One thing that has been discussed with my neighbors is exactly what type of effect it would have on them. They're in, they approve the plans as you have in front of you. It's been very straightforward with them to understand that they believe that the project will improve the values of their homes also. Relatively straightforward. We're going up versus going out. We're trying not to have any type of effect on the backyard at all. So we're trying to keep it in the existing footprint as it is at this point. One of the things that we really tried to do was keep the same roof line as is, so there's not going to be any type of variance or variation to people's sunlight as and or any other types of problems with wind and or airflow in the area. So the project entails going out minimally on the actual footprint itself. We are going up above the garage. And the variance is the garage as it stands today is out of code if you go to today's code. The house was built before the other houses in the area and probably before that this actual code was put in place. At this point, we are going up because we can't go anywhere else with that garage. And or improving the space going up versus going out. We are also then going above that with utilizing the roof line to create an attic above that the space that exists today.
And that's why the FAR is over.
And that's the main reason why the FAR is over compared to the code, the allowable square footage. For the area, for the actual house itself.
Anything else you want to tell us?
The house will remain a residence of for the four of us and my family. We've been residents here for 13 years, give or take, and don't plan on moving. We think the house will improve the area. There's some other improvements being done in the area, and it'll fit in well with the residents that have had some significant work on the blocks. Thank you.
Yeah. Any questions?
Is your architect here?
I am she.
You're the architect. Okay. So I had a number of questions. So this FAR excess, I calculated it, and it is primarily that study space under the roof. And while the home itself isn't exceeding,
My name is Kimberly Smith. I'm president of Smith Architecture. I've been sworn. I live and work here. So
I have some questions that I think maybe.
Yeah.
Sure. Maybe if you presented as well, they might be answered.
Sure. I mean.
So how did we?
Yeah. I was feeding him some information as he was going, but I always feel like the client is always the better presenter because it's his skin on the line, right? I have no problems presenting anything. But yes, I mean, basically the issue is because we're keeping with the existing pitch of the roof and the style of the house. We are over on FAR because the attic is very tall. And so we have to count 7 feet of that height as countable FAR, even though he's not even going to be using part of it is in attic space that's not even accessible, but it's still tall. So feel free to ask your questions. I'm happy, Mr. Rule, to answer any questions you have.
So... So you're basically saying that the reason that the area is up there is just an artifact of the roof pitch.
Yes, for a portion of it, correct. And then we're taking advantage of some of that over the new area so that he can actually use it. But the portion of the attic right now does count, even though it's not even accessible. It's over the existing bedroom 2. You know, bathroom 3 over that whole hall. It's such a long house, and it's very tall, steep pitch roof. So some of that stuff that we don't even have access to is actually counted towards the FAR.
Don't have access to. Okay. It's like 40% over. Or 23% over. It's a fifth over the.
I think they're asking for.
If I did the math that I did on it showed 21% over the approved FAR. So that's a fifth larger than what's permitted.
Mm-hmm.
And if that upper space were omitted, then you'd be like 8% over. If that's about by my calculation, about 500 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Of countable space up in there, and if that were omitted,
right, how weird would that look with a different pitched roof on the back? It looks so odd.
So there's the zoning is about the code,
yeah,
and the way it looks is about the architectural design,
right? And it's also about what is appropriate for the neighborhood, and to put a lower pitched roof, I think, would look.
If you started the wall lower, and you kept the pitch. You'd have a little bit of a sloped upper wall in the bedroom, but then you wouldn't be exceeding because you wouldn't have usable space upstairs, right? So you can there are ways of maintaining the roof pitch, but not going up as high. And the other issue with it is you have a non-compliant garage and non-compliant setbacks,
mm-hmm.
which is okay because the garage is nice and low, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you see the house, but you can see past it. It's not like a downtown set of row houses, right? You're raising it up now, and so you're making basically a barrier visually across the entire lot.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, it's set back somewhat, which means
yeah,
it's not as
set back quite a bit, yeah.
Sure. But because of that setback, strictly speaking, the second floor shouldn't be able to come up in the same place as the existing garage wall. And you are demolishing the garage and rebuilding
it. Right, because he wants to have storage underneath it, so.
Right, so all of those things together are problematic. You're exceeding the FAR by a fair bit,
mm-hmm.
for a not use a useless space, a not usable space,
a portion of that. You're right. And then
sure.
What he's doing is he's taking advantage of that space in the new part so that he can use it. I mean,
right, but you're saying that the only reason it's that like that is because you want to maintain the roof pitch.
Right.
But if the walls of the second floor addition were not all the way to the ceiling and then you start the roof pitch, this is starting to look like a Naperville McMansion, you know?
Oh,
I don't think this looks at all like a Naperville McMansion.
We're very much in keeping with the existing architecture, the original architecture of the house. We haven't changed
the look of the room as well. Changing what your suggestion to do with change the complete, what the inside of the house looks like.
That's true, but that has nothing to do with zoning. So what we're talking about here is, what are you doing to try to achieve the FAR or closer to the FAR by changing the way that the second floor addition is
if we did what you're suggesting and dropped it even to where the existing rafters sit, we'd still be well over on square footage.
I don't think
FAR.
So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're only like a foot and a half or something taller for our where we have the roof starting. Right now, the very top on the second floor, Mark, the top maybe 6 inches is affected. If we did that, I mean, I'm
compared to what's there today, it's a minimal increase in roof line height.
But it's a big increase in FAR.
No, it's not. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Even if we dropped it, let's say, 2 feet, and so I don't think it is even 2 feet that it would drop to match the existing. I should have put that dimension on there, but let's say we dropped it to where let's say it's 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Even dropping it 2 feet still puts us well over the FAR. So we're already asking for going over the FAR. Whether it's, I mean, we can come back with a revised, but this is what we're submitting today.
Right, and
yeah.
So I'm pointing out the degree of difference, right? So you have some issues, like if it were one or the other, you're occupying the width of the lot beyond what the setbacks are supposed to be, right? And it's
right.
Grandfathered at the level that you're currently at, but that's not necessarily means that it's grandfathered if you demolish and then rebuild, or if you extend a wall upwards.
Right, we wouldn't even be allowed to extend the wall upward right now.
Right, so
there's no second floor allowed at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that, and then there's the additional height at the back, which gives you conveniently extra headroom up in that attic space so that it can be used. And gives you, in the master bedroom, walls that go all the way floor to ceiling straight instead of going up and then slanting the way that they do in most of the rooms around here. But that would eliminate that excess space upstairs, which is pushing you over the FAR. So there's what I'm saying here is that, like going, well, you know, it's just the way it ends up.
No, I guess what we're saying is we're already going to be over, so doing this and actually getting some usable space out of it is what he's asking for. So wouldn't you say, Mark, do you want to speak to that?
More importantly, it's a project that literally will enhance the house, enhance the neighborhood value, and the neighbors have seen the full plans, understand everything,
I understand that, but the zoning variance is generally to be based on like reasonable hardship that
we can't move the garage anymore. We put it in the back. We continue to change the actual flow of water that's back to.
Mark, if you're going to talk.
Yeah, why don't you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's, okay. It's a smaller room. I think everybody can hear.
No, but we audio recorded.
Oh, recorded. I'm sorry. I'm sure people can hear me. But point is if we do go anything, go anywhere with this garage, it has to go into the back. If you go into the back, we create all sorts of havoc. There already is enough of that. People are putting garages in the back. They built up. They put their garages, of course, higher than the grade, so they don't get water from the pooling that occurs. So we have really limited options for the garage that exists today. So we're trying to improve the space, make it as livable as possible. If it's ability to keep it at the same structural style as it is, so there is aesthetics that will be beneficial to the area also. I mean, these houses, you want to look great in River Forest. This would be another good-looking house in River Forest.
So the email chain you gave us about the water was 4.5 years old. Does that problem still exist?
It's probably worse now. More work has been done on people's backyards to reduce the pooling that they get, which ultimately the water has to go somewhere. So.
And so the pictures, who took the pictures that are part of our package?
I did.
And are they current pictures?
They're probably 3 or 4 years old. At the same time of that email.
And the situation looks the same now that it did in May of 13, is that right? Or it's worse, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm having a difficult time trying to correlate your request for the increased FAR with the flooding in the backyard. It seems to me they're not related. You know, if the backyard floods, that's a problem. You're going to take part of the backyard and increase the footprint of the house slightly, I think, under this plan that's proposed. But you'd build it, if you could, if there wasn't flooding, you'd increase the footprint larger than the backyard, perhaps. But you've chosen not to do that. You've chosen to go up. So I don't see how the flooding has any relationship to the request for the FAR. And as Mr. Rule points out, it seems to me we have to determine that there's a specific hardship for this property in order to recommend a variation. And to me, a hardship is not, I want a bigger house. And that's what I hear you say. You want to improve your house, you want to make it more livable for your family, you want to have more space for your family. That's not a hardship that's unique to your property. That's a hardship. If it's a hardship, anybody who comes before us that has a house in River Forest that wants to improve the property can say, it gives me better living space. It gives me more room for my kids to play in. It gives me studies on 3 levels, you know, whatever it is. So I don't see so far, I don't see a hardship. And absent a hardship, some of us might be hard pressed to recommend to the board that the variation be granted. It just, I want a bigger house, doesn't qualify as far as I'm concerned.
The thought process behind this is anybody who would renovate would say, you know what, I'd sort of like to make it bigger. And can you give me a variation for that reason? And you know, oh, it's architecturally better or whatever. I might argue that having a really, really large, massive structure behind the existing structure would look kind of odd and dominating, but that's not my main criticism. My main criticism is you're way past the FAR, and you also have these grandfathered setbacks, which are supposed to prevent the houses on either side from encroaching towards each other to start making it look like a downtown set of row houses. So you have that grandfathered, but you want to simultaneously maintain that and also then go up significantly. And then you're exceeding the FAR as a consequence. And when I'm looking at the roof lines on the side and on the profile and so on, you know, there would be ways of doing this that wouldn't involve having a yet higher, larger structure at the back to accommodate your master bedroom and your master bath and that space across the back, which looks great, right? But the FAR is not just a you know, it's something that needs to be justified why it is that that FAR should be exceeded. And if you're coming with an 8% overage, you know, maybe, but you're a fifth over what's permitted for that property.
Mr. Raddatz, is there any provision in the zoning code that provides for an FAR of greater than 0.4? In the single family residential area?
Not in the R1 and R2 districts.
So really what you're asking for is a stretch, because...
Well, can I address your question first?
Sure.
With the hardship?
Yeah.
The garage itself, so we're not trying to drastically change what the house looks like, which will then create another issue with our neighbors. Meaning, so the hardship literally is, where does the garage go? The garage can all go in the back. If it goes in the back, it creates even more issues with water and so forth. So if you don't agree with that, that's the biggest hardship that we have. Not to mention the footprint itself. My neighbors have bought their houses, and their houses are older or younger than my house. My house has been there. Our house was built in 1940. Their houses were built, in the late 40s or early 50s, or maybe in the 60s. I have no idea. I wasn't around. Point is that what we're trying to do is keep within the actual footprint itself, and if anything, do the best we can with the same architectural style. So there's really not much more to say on the hardship side, besides there's really nowhere else to go while trying to improve a house that, you know, in the area would drastically improve other people's values also.
Any other questions for the applicant or his architect?
No question.
Tager?
Is the total height of the proposed work, what's the total height?
It's below the...
Yes, below the...
It's 34 feet.
Really,
it's on the one of the pages.
Yeah, yeah. To the peak it is, but it's because the house is sunk into. I mean, the entrance first floor is pretty much at grade.
Right.
So to the point. So let's just talk about what you're saying about the height of the house in the back, right? It does go up 3 feet, but it stays continuous until a small portion where it needs to go. I mean, it's just one of those continuing the style of the home.
So like this step, here's the front, up,
and then it's up. And then that garage doesn't happen for 51 feet, 7-something inches. Yeah, it's set way back.
Yeah, no, I went, yes. But this peak
is the same.
So on this section, in this south elevation here, would you mind indicating to me where the current roof line of the current structure is at the back? Because that was kind of hard to tell from looking outside of the building, how that ties in. So is that current roof line, that ridge that runs front to back and then is interrupted by this transverse sort of dormer?
Yeah, that you can see.
Where's
well, the existing roof line has a additional. It goes up again. The existing roof line. It's not. It doesn't go straight across here. As the existing roof line has another. It goes up again.
It goes up to where, and then how does it terminate at the back? I'm trying to reconcile what this looks like,
right,
relative to the existing. And, you know, it would be helpful to have an existing south elevation.
Sure,
but because I'd like to know, you know, how much did that have to come up? It comes up once here, and then it comes up one more time for this transverse ridge,
mm-hmm,
for the addition at the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so between those two, I'm not sure how much of a gain you have over the existing. I know that the gain over the... Visually, the existing height of the house is determined by this front to back ridge, the one at the street side. So visually, that's about where the height of the house is determined. And you have it step up and then step up again behind that. And that's, you know, again, you're not exceeding the roof height, so that's not really the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that by going up as high as you are, you're exceeding the FAR.
Correct.
That's why it's a problem. So really the roof height isn't the concern, it's that the FAR is bigger. And if you didn't have the garage on the side being going up two stories, you built up over the other part of it, then you probably wouldn't exceed the FAR, but you wouldn't get the extra space in the master bedroom level that you want. There's a sort of conflict here of goals, and the problem is that because you're taking advantage of the grandfathered setbacks, which give you a nice wide structure, you're taking advantage of that, but then going up, and then your roof line ends up occupying so much extra space that you're exceeding your FAR. So somewhere something has to give. Somewhere something has to either. And I'm looking at the eave height back here and the eave height of the existing. And if that eave height were brought down and the master bedroom didn't have, had walls that came up and then just at the top came up like this before they came flat, you may not have so much space, then you can call it a true attic and it doesn't count as FAR because it's not habitable space. But it's so high right now that, yeah, guarantee, you know, it's going to be used as a study. It's already marked as a study. So we can't sort of say, oh, that's just disused attic space, so it doesn't count towards FAR. So there needs to be some adjustment made so that it's not a fifth larger. Like a fifth larger than what's zoned is a fairly large variance.
Mm-hmm.
5% larger we get all the time, you know, that kind of thing. But a fifth larger is a lot. And then we're also being asked to permit you to continue to have the setbacks, even though you're demolishing the structure that's giving you the right to have the grandfathered setback, right? If you demolish that structure, strictly speaking, we could say, no, you got to go with the 12-foot setback.
Well, that just changes then what the actual house is that's there today.
I understand that from your side, it's kind of like, oh, that would be useless to me. But our position is we have to interpret the zoning in such a way as to make sense and to keep it from being that every time somebody wants to do something a bit different, they just come in and say, hey, I like it this way. That's, you know, that doesn't really work. So what we're asking you to work with your architect on is a compromise that maybe brings it towards.
Well, there are a number of things that we can take a vote on this tonight, and however we vote, it goes to the Village Board of Trustees, and you can make a presentation there. I can't tell you whether it would be recommended or not. You know, we could, if you want, to go back and look at these plans again and see if there's any adjustments that you're comfortable making. You can ask us to do that. If you want to proceed with the plans that you've submitted, which are going to give you a beautiful house that's what you want, but it's way beyond what's permitted under the code, you know, we're happy to consider that and proceed. So it's really, at this point, it's up to you to tell us how you want us to proceed. And if you come back with some other plan, just understand there's no guarantee that we're going to accept that, you know. So,
you know, I want to be clear on this section, number 8, that it's accurate, Cliff. It's alleged hardship or difficulty, right? It's in the packet.
Yes.
So that's section 10. So it's not hardship.
Well,
it's hardship or difficult.
Well,
right?
I think if you look at the zoning code, the standard here is one is the physical surrounding shape or topography, topographical conditions, the specific property involved will bring a specific hardship upon the owner as distinguished from an inconvenience if the strict letter of the regulations were to be carried out.
Okay. I'm at 8 too, so, you know, 8 provides hardship or difficulty, so not just hardship.
So what do you want us to do?
Well, I'd like to consider what is the plans that are in front of you.
Okay.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Anything else that you or your architect want to say to us this evening?
Nope. I thank you for your time.
All right. There's nobody else in the audience, so we'll close the public portion of the hearing, and we will discuss this among ourselves, and we'll make a recommendation to the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome to wait around. We're gonna do this right now.
Okay.
All right. Anybody that hasn't, if anything they want to say?
I am about to vote for the plan. I think it's a reasonable plan. I think the homeowners have done what they can. I think it's also important to take into consideration the neighbors on the north and south. And obviously the look is important and the height is important. So that's why I think it's a good plan. I understand the other comments, but I think it's a good plan.
I struggle with the size. Like Mike said, it's already larger than it should be to today's code. But then we've had this before, adding on to a grandfathered situation is difficult. And I think the flooding, that's a whole separate issue. And needing to go up on both sides where it's already exceeding where it should be.
Any other comments? Do you want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the plan.
Is there a second? Anybody want to second the motion? So the motion to approve fails for lack of a second. So that will be the report to the Board of Trustees. Anything else, Cliff?
This is it.
Okay. Do you have any idea when this will be before the trustees?
We believe it's going to go before what we're aiming for, and we can confirm this with you. This would be presented the second board meeting in January, which would be January 22nd.
Thank you for your time.
Anything else from the board? Do we have another meeting in January?
Unless the applicant gets me some additional information, I can't even write the legal notice, so we're on the verge of canceling that.
Okay.
So, because I've got to get the legal notice out Friday, and without getting a legal notice out, we can't hold the meeting.
Okay. You'll let us know?
I will let you know.
Do you have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for coming. Merry Christmas, everybody.